Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
When they hired Kyle, I was thrilled. I'm optimistic. I think we'll get there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 26-24 loss in Washington, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, there's a lot to talk about today regarding the San Francisco 49ers and even the NFL. I mean, with the release of Navarro Bowman, the quarterback change for San Francisco, and, you know, Colin Kaepernick with the grievance, and we'll get to all of that. But let's just start with the fact that here we go again with the 49ers, another close loss. In fact, they set an NFL record by having 5 straight losses by 3 or fewer points. 13 points.
Really?
Yeah, they've had 5 losses by a total of 13 points. So if you thought before it was a little aggravating to lose close games, you know, after 1 or 2, now you got 5 on the table. So I don't know what to think. Is it something where you feel like something good is building from that, or does the frustration just kind of mount for the team?
No, I mean, it would be interesting to ask them, but I think that it's building. And now I think that the next 2 changes have now happened, and they're moving forward. I mean, they're looking at the future. It's no longer right now. So you make a change of quarterback, the team, I thought, responded. Yes, there were still a couple more drops, but there weren't the ugly drops that there were earlier in the game. And guys seemed to respond, guys knew, okay, we got a new quarterback in, it's never played, we got to pick it up. And seemed like they did. They went and protected Beathard, I think, by running the ball more, and they ran it pretty well. I actually forgot to look at the stats, but it seemed like it during the game that they ran the ball better. They ran it more, and they were competitive. Defense scored a touchdown, which is something we've been looking for, because defense has been playing well. But they almost scored a touchdown, but got a big play, got a big turnover, and allowed the offense to score on the next play. But I think you're 0-6. You're looking to build for next year. And that change started on Friday, obviously, with Navarro.
Right. And I want to get to talking about Navarro, but first, just, you know, yeah. I think the biggest news really is the switch to C.J. Beathard and what he did.
Right.
And like you said, I mean, it seemed like other players responded, although right away when he first came in, he did there was a drop by Kittle, almost to say, you know what, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's throwing it, we're going to drop the ball. But everybody else did respond at one point.
Yeah.
You got the feeling that he did add the spark they were looking for.
He did. No question. Like I said, I think guys all of a sudden went, okay, we got a new quarterback in. He's never played. We have to do our jobs better. And I think that everybody did. Other than, that's the only big drop that I can think of from the time that Beathard came in. Obviously he made some mistakes, but that's going to happen. And they're willing to live with that now, is my guess. I don't think, just drew a blank on his name. the quarterback will see the field again.
Oh, yeah, Brian Hoyer. Yeah.
Brian Hoyer.
I don't think so either. I agree with you. Yeah,
I mean, unless Beathard gets hurt, I mean, you're not, like I said, you're now building, you know, you're playing for the future now.
Well, some of the aspects of why he did well, I really like some of the quotes from Kyle Shanahan, and I wanted to get your thoughts on him because he said that the game's not too big for him. He doesn't hesitate. He's extremely tough. And then maybe that the pro-style offense, some people are speculating, you know, maybe that helped him because at Iowa, that's what he played. Do you agree with all of those?
No, I agree with 100% with all of them. He was not afraid to stay in the pocket. I thought he moved. I thought he climbed well in the pocket. There might have been one or two times that I thought, get up in there quicker, you know, but that'll come. But he runs well. We saw that in the preseason. And, you know, every once in a while, ball seems to come out funky because his release is a little bit of a push. So there were a couple balls. That one that Kittle did drop was an ugly looking ball, but
yeah,
still got caught. I'm not. That's not an excuse. I'm just saying it was a funky ball. But needs to be caught. Has to be caught in order to win a game. And I would agree that he seems to be a tough kid. And there's no question that playing in a pro offense, pro style offense in college helps. No question.
You know, yeah, the throws. There was one actually that was caught by Kittle that looked like a wounded duck. It kind of reminded me of one of my passes, Steve, when I was playing a little bit. and I wondered about. No, I mean, how important is it to throw a nice spiral? And I don't know about his arm strength either. If that really, you have to weigh in, you know, how much of arm strength the kid has.
Well, if he has the anticipation, then you don't have to worry so much about the arm strength. But he seems like he can sling it pretty good. But like I said, there's a little bit of a push in the motion,
mm-hmm.
in his stroke. But I would say for the most part, most of the balls they seem pretty good. You know, as Joe used to say, they were a tight wobble. But hey, I mean, he made things happen. I mean, he moved around well and got the ball to guys and I thought everybody responded and they had a chance.
Yeah, I always look
a chance to win.
They did, and I always look at kind of the true test for the quarterback. I don't know about you, Steve, but when you get into a 2-minute offense, you know, and you really have to drive it down there, and he did a great job in both situations. The one at the end of the first half, they ended up scoring. Yep. They threw a bunch of passes until they had the rush touchdown. So it was, you know, we have to rush and we have to hurry. And same thing at the end of the game, even though they didn't get it done there, that one penalty cost them big time on Garcon.
It did.
But otherwise, he almost got them in position to get the field goal to win the game.
No question. Yeah. And even the Garcon one, I kind of see it because he did contact him, you know what I mean? Whereas if he can just make them bubble over the top, you know, it's probably a completion and no penalty,
right?
But no, they were in position. They were right there, and I definitely think they're going in the right direction.
If they don't miss a field goal, they win the game. Basically, yeah. I mean, you can't blame it on Gold though. I mean, he's been great. That was the first time he missed in 32. He had 32 in a row before that.
Yeah, that one just—he seemed like he just stayed out, you know, kind of pushed it.
Yeah,
and didn't have any chance of coming back.
There were some calls in this game too. I mean, you mentioned that one there with Garcon, but there were some other calls that I thought were bizarre. I mean, first of all, the Jimmy Ward diving interception that they reversed, and I know they got an interception on the next play by Rashard Robinson.
I thought he had that interception. Yeah, you know, there was one little spot when he rolls over and it's coming out the top of his arm a little bit. That's the spot where I thought that they would turn it, you know, overturn it, and they did. But I mean, you almost got to give it to him. Such a hell of a play.
I know, it was a great diving catch for the interception. Yeah,
and I'm still not even sure where Kirk Cousins was throwing the ball.
I don't know on that one.
Honestly, I mean, there wasn't anybody around it. I mean,
no,
I wasn't sure where he was going with that one.
And there was another call where Vernon Davis, to me, appeared to be down, but they don't reverse that call. That Jimmy Ward recovered that fumble.
Yeah. I thought he was down too. His hand was down and his elbow was down. I thought that counted for being down. You know, either the knee or the elbow. I always thought.
Right, and they don't reverse that call. That's why sometimes I wonder about replay, if it's even worth all the time we put into that. You know, if you're not going to get those calls right anyway, what's the point?
Yeah, I thought he was down, honestly. What do I know?
since you mentioned Cousins, I mean, it's kind of like the opportunity to see, okay, you got a future quarterback in Beathard and maybe a next year quarterback in Cousins. Who knows, after his, you know, contract runs out. He threw for 330. He looked pretty good overall, didn't he?
Yeah. He's better. I mean, I thought he played well yesterday. I don't know. I've never been – I can't say that was – that have been crazy about him, but his stats are good, and I thought he threw the ball for the most part pretty well yesterday. I don't know if they go that route. Let's re-sign Alex. The contract will be up. They won't sign him in Kansas City unless he wins the Super
Bowl.
Really?
You think that's a possibility?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a possibility, but you know, just going with it.
You know, actually, Beathard kind of reminded me.
Re-sign out.
He reminded me of Alex a little bit, just the toughness, the way, you know, he stepped up in the pocket, the way Alex does. A little bit, anyway.
Yeah, no, I can kind of see that. Totally different throwing motion, but
right.
I mean, let's sign up. I mean, if you sign Cousins, he's not going to sign for less than $25 million.
Right.
I mean, he's already making 23, right? He made 20 last year. He's making 23 this year.
It's a lot for one player, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all power to him. If you can get it, take it. So it's going to have to be a $125 million deal, you know, 5 years, $125 million. And they give him, you know, 25 up front. And I mean, I'm guessing it's got to be at least that. Or do you go and sign Alex to a, I don't know, three year, $50 million deal, and then draft, you know, draft Darnold, draft Rosen, draft kid from Oklahoma State, whomever. And I don't know. You know, I'm not sure which way they'll go.
It's funny because I felt like with Alex, he just fit in so well in that Kansas City system. Does he fit into the Shanahan system too?
Yeah. Oh, he would totally fit in there. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Just the whole play action and movement. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think it fit really well.
Well, we'll see what happens with the Chiefs, too, because they were on a roll until they finally lost the game here this past weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. They just, you know, they're again, a couple plays, and that game's totally different.
True, yeah, the Steelers beating them.
I mean, they make that interception on, you know, that Antonio Brown runs in. Jeez.
Yeah, I saw that.
What a crazy play that was.
Give him credit for concentration because
unbelievable.
He just stayed with it. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up Alex Smith because I wanted to ask you about the quarterback relationships, the starter backup, and when there's a change like this with Hoyer and C.J. Beathard, and how the quarterback who's replaced handles it, because nobody could handle it better than Alex Smith did when Colin Kaepernick took the job, you know, when Alex had the concussion. I mean, he didn't complain, you know, just the way he handled it. You know, going back to even Joe Montana, Steve Young, you know, you know all about that. How difficult is that for the two guys, because they're around each other all the time? You want to root for the other guy, but, you know, there's a big job at stake that two players are competing for.
No question. And Alex handled it extremely well, knowing the whole time that he was going to get replaced. I mean, he felt that he just knew that, and he handled it extremely well, and he left the 49ers with a, you know, with the, I would say, the doors wide open. You know, the Yorks were great to him, and he was great to the Yorks through that whole thing. So I know that, you know, that could still work. But I would, you know, I have no idea what Hoyer and Beathard's relationship is, but my guess is that, you know, Brian, having been around, been on a bunch of teams, been the backup, been the starter, been up and down, that he's probably pretty good with Beathard. You know, I don't know his personality, but that's just my sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, it seems like he can handle that. I mean, it's really hard when you have the Joe Montana situation. There's a guy who's, you know, he's a legend.
That's totally different than that. That's a harder one because, you know, that's someone being brought in to replace an older player who's been around, who's closer to the end of his career than the beginning, but is still playing at a super high level.
Right, so it's very delicate in that situation.
It's very, very delicate. You know, that'll be the situation for the next guy that, you know, New England drafts in the first round and Brady's still a starter. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's a fine line now that you're walking, you know, kind of the same, you know, Aaron Rodgers, whoever that next guy that comes in, who's a first round pick. You know, Aaron will then be in Brett Favre's shoes when Aaron was coming in. So
right, always a little delicate there. Yeah,
those are delicate.
Well, what about this Navarro Bowman situation? Because Kyle Shanahan had to deal with that. I mean, you had a veteran who maybe wasn't covering as much ground as he did before, but it's still tough to lose a veteran player like that. He wasn't happy with, you know, being pulled out of the game at all. Do you think it was just for the best, though? You don't want somebody who has, you know, sort of a bad attitude at that point?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I think that they had been trying to shop him. I think they've been trying to shop him actually for a year and a half, even before Kyle and John got here. If I read what I read correctly, I thought it was pretty cool that they, you know, that he asked to then be released and not traded. If I understood that correctly.
Yeah, I think so. He could go to any team is really what it was.
I think that was very good on the part of the 49ers to say, okay, we're, you know, you gave us 8 great years. We're willing to do that. You know, and not necessarily get anything for him, but allow him to pick the place that he feels is the best fit for him.
This wouldn't have happened if they were 3-3, right? I mean, this is only happening because of where they are.
No, it's because they're 0-6.
I mean, there's just no way they would let a player like that go.
3-3, no way. I mean, 8 years, 4 times an All-Pro.
Yeah.
That's Hall of Fame status. You know, I mean, that's Patrick Willis status.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it was great to have him, too, to kind of tutor Reuben Foster, who has been hurt. But, you know, just to have somebody around with that kind of experience to help the kid.
Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, we've talked about this before, that think about that you had two All-Pros of three linebackers. Of three line, you know, really, if you wanted to say you had three All-Pros out of the four linebackers.
Yeah.
You know, Patrick, Navarro, and Alden.
Yeah, they were just amazing.
On one team. Oh, my gosh. You know, and then you throw in Justin Smith, who's taking two guys on every down.
Well, that's why they were in the Super Bowl, you know,
that was four years ago.
That's
why they had the best
defense in
the NFL for 2 or 3 years of those years. And then you add a Vic Fangio to coordinate it all.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Right. We'll continue the conversation with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono after this from TPC Harding Park. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. Speaking of when they went to the Super Bowl, the quarterback on that team was Colin Kaepernick. And now, big news came out, this collusion claim. You know, to me, Steve, I'll just say that, you know, to me, it's quite obvious that teams were colluding, but I don't know that you can prove that. I don't think it's going to be very difficult for him to prove it. What's your take on it?
Yeah, that's going to be really hard. Unless, and my son and Christoph was saying, we were talking about today when we were on our hike.
Uh-huh.
And he was saying if there's a text or an email out there that is derogatory toward him, you know, that somebody finds,
right,
then they're probably guilty.
And you wonder, I mean, wouldn't his lawyer have that in hand before he decided to have a grievance,
hope,
right, to file one?
I would hope. But
you would think.
But other than that, I honestly don't think he's got a chance.
Yeah, because really, I mean, every team can decide what kind of quarterback do we want.
Yeah.
You know, if you just looked at stats, Steve, if you just looked at that he had 16 touchdowns, 4 interceptions a year ago, why isn't this guy on a team, at least as a backup? If you just looked at that, your eyebrows get raised, but you have to look at more than
but
that,
if you
right?
went back a year and a half or two seasons ago and talked to some guys that were on that team when he did what he did, it'd be a different answer. You know, with getting replaced, you know, not wanting to throw the ball to certain guys, you know, wouldn't, you know, wasn't a good teammate. I think there would be, you know, if people heard some of the things that those guys would have said, then it's a whole different story.
Well, why do you think he wasn't a good teammate? Was that, I mean, was it because of dividing the team, you think? Or just, like you said, maybe?
I think that was part of it. And you know, when he got replaced, then all of a sudden he was hurt and needed 4 surgeries.
Right.
I don't buy into that one. So, I mean, he played his cards really well.
Right.
Played them really well, you know, with doing the surgeries and not being cleared physically and them having to pay him a bonus. I would say he played his cards pretty well.
But all that being said, doesn't he still add some excitement to a team? Like, I don't know, as a backup, I don't know, but the way he runs and the arm that he has
question.
And all that.
Yeah. No question. I mean, the physical talent, physical skills are there. I still question whether he really wants to play or not. You know, has anybody asked him if he really wants to play, or has he ever said that?
And that would be a major reason to not sign him. If you don't feel that he 100% wants to play, then you wouldn't want him on your team, if you actually felt that way.
I'm not convinced. I've not seen anything in print where someone's asked him, do you want to play? Have you, you know, are you actively calling teams? Is your agent calling teams? I haven't seen. I've never seen his agent say anything.
Haven't seen that either. It's kind of been kept secret, yeah. I guess.
That's the part I don't, you know, I don't get that. I don't get all that.
Here's a key question too, Steve. If he somehow wins this collusion claim, and let's just say then he ends up with a team, what does it mean for the future though of quarterbacks? You know, if you have decent stats, does that mean that you really have to be signed, or you know, isn't that going to get a little dicey?
I would say it would get really dicey. because then every guy that's not on a roster who has better than average, I guess.
Right.
That, you could sue for collusion. I don't know.
Yeah,
that gets pretty dicey.
It really does. I mean, it happened in baseball. It happened in baseball, and there was a lot of money awarded. Remember that?
It has. It did.
So I don't know that it's going to happen here, but it is going to be interesting to watch this situation.
It was interesting. Yeah, I agree.
All right, to finish up, next game for the Niners against the Dallas Cowboys. Speaking of controversy, because, you know, their owner, Jerry Jones, is saying that, you know, they should be standing up. And we'll know something more by the time the game starts. The NFL owners are trying to figure things out with that, too. But that Cowboys team has been, not only do you have that, you know, sort of the off-the-field stuff, but they've been disappointing. I mean, they're 2-3. I don't know what's going on with Ezekiel Elliott, if he's even going to be allowed to play. There's just so much going on with that team. This is a big game for the Cowboys against the 49ers.
It sure is, yeah. Because if you... You know they'll travel. You know they'll travel well.
Definitely, yeah. At Levi's, yeah.
Come in there and look past them and get beat. Because it's Dwight Clark Day. I would hope that the team would be fired up. The crowd should be fired up. That could easily happen with all the distractions they have going on, and you come in here and get beat, and all of a sudden you're what 3-4? No, what are they right now?
Right now they're 2-3.
Two and three. Okay, so they've had a bye already.
Yeah, they just had their bye week. Yep.
They just had their bye, so you come out of here and you're 2-4.
That would be surprising.
Jerry's going nuts.
The Eagles are taking control of that division, so yeah.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Okay, I'll make you a bet though as we finish up here. Right. My bet is that there's no way the 49ers lose by 3 points or less. No way. It's not happening. You can't continue that way.
I know. That's unbelievable. Well, going back to the start of the conversation, I think it's a positive. I mean, they're competitive. They're competitive. They're young. They haven't figured out yet how to win, but they're getting darn close.
It's fun to watch. I mean, it is. It's even though they're 0-6, it's way more fun than last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Defense is getting better. You have a young kid playing in the middle at linebacker.
Brock Coyle.
Young secondary, they're getting better. I think Jaquaski Tart is getting better as a player. Jimmy Williams seems to be. Guys are flying around in the secondary. It's definitely better than 1-6 was last year.
Absolutely. And by the way, what's your favorite memory of facing the Cowboys? Because the 49ers and Cowboys always had those, classic games. Did you have one that you remember more than another?
Mine was probably more as a Chief, not so much as a, even though we did play a bunch of games against them, and unfortunately it was in two of the NFC Championship games that were lost, unfortunately. One down there. My chief memory was a loss as well on Thanksgiving Day down there, too. But, I don't know if I have a one specific moment. No, nothing that jumps out.
But by the way, by the way, I got to tell you, I did a soccer match the other day with Stanford, and Charles Haley's daughter is on the Stanford team, and she's tough.
Really?
Not surprisingly, she is tough.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Well, hey, we'll talk again next week after that game against the Cowboys. Appreciate you coming on today.
Sounds good.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next week. We'll talk about the Niners game against the Dallas Cowboys. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.